morning's devotion is entitled No Tourniquet Required. Some time ago, a newspaper carried a story about a woman who called 911 after a medical port dislodged from her arm. Blood was spurting everywhere, she recalled. The EMS unit that responded was equipped with a new tourniquet that was designed for military use. This new design, said a fire chief quoted in the article, locks into place so that it doesn't become loose or shift during transport to the hospital. It does a much better job of stopping the flow of blood. In this case, the tourniquet helped save a woman's life. Stopping the flow of blood when a serious injury occurs is what we do to save life, for the loss of too much blood will result in death. The Apostle Paul described the cup of the Lord's Supper as a participation in the blood of Christ, that the outpouring of Jesus' blood was not hope but meant death for him, but life for us. Jesus cried out as he was dying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But the separation that Jesus experienced meant renewed fellowship with God for us. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus could have provided the equivalent of a tourniquet. He could have called 12 legions of angels, 72,000 of them, to come and rescue him from his enemies. But the love of God had decreed that the blood of Christ should fall that day. No tourniquet devised by man would have been strong enough to stop it. It is never accurate to say that Jesus' life was taken from him. He made clear that he gave his life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for my own accord. The prophet Zechariah used the image of a fountain to picture the continual flowing of the blood of Christ that still carries the power to cleanse him from sin and impurity. William Cowper expressed that truth in the words of a widely known hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed ones of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. When this poor whispering, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a no more sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. Let us partake of this bread. Let us partake of this juice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And I want to preach for a few minutes today from this title, The Hardest, Simplest Thing. Amen. Brother Philip, would you pray over the word today?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for what we feel. We ask, Lord, that you charge us up this week to share the word with everybody with we come in contact with, where we're the light of the world, God. Use us in mighty, mighty ways. Help us, God, to know the things to say to the people that we do run into. Help us, God, where we need help. Help us to be strong. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. It was an honest mistake. It's not like they were evil people. It's not like they would intentionally condemn an innocent person. They were just doing what they were told by the elders.
Yes.
I mean, weren't they the ones who knew right from wrong?
Yep.
Doesn't God tell us to obey them who have the rule over us?
Yep.
Weren't they just obeying the law of Moses? I mean, it's not like they were the ones who were arrested Jesus and brought him to trial. Wasn't it the Romans who actually did the accusing? And weren't the Romans the one who actually did the crucifying? And they were just going along with the crowd. I mean, trials were a common thing in their culture. And how are they to know this one was any different? They weren't the ones whipping him. They didn't actually pound the nails in his hands and feet. They were just pawns in a chess game being played by their respective governments. And yet, why did they feel so bad? Why did it feel like someone just stabbed them with a knife? Why were their hearts beating out of their chests? What were these tears squirting from their eyes? Peter's anointed preaching smashed through the lives they had built around themselves. His preaching about Jesus uncovered their guilt. Because the truth is, they knew all along that what they were doing was wrong. Deep in their hearts and in their souls, a tortured voice was sounding the alarm. Danger! Wrong! Lies! Watch out! Don't do this! If you've ever heard that voice say amen. If you've ever ignored that voice, say amen. But they did not listen to the voice of their consciences. And they buried their guilt in a hole so deep that they thought no one would ever find it. But God found them out. As it says in Numbers, be sure your sins will find you out. Their own sins outed them. And now it felt as if their hearts would explode with grief. If this sorrow didn't let up, they were surely going to die from the pain. This was a full-on red alert. Now that this thing was out in the open, it's got to be dealt with. It's not going anywhere, and they're not going anywhere until this problem is solved. But how? How can it be solved? I mean, the deed has been done. Isn't it too late? Isn't it beyond hope at this point for them? And so they did what any of us would have done. They cried out to Peter. He's the one that brought all this up to start with. And they said, what shall we do? Have you told us all this just to make us miserable? Do you intend to bring God's horrible judgments down on us? What can we do? Is there anything we can do to make this right?
Amen.
And Peter pointed them to the hardest, simplest thing. And he said to them, repent.
Amen.
Like a father to his children, Peter instructed them, now say you're sorry. Oh my, is there anything funnier than watching your child or grandchild who's been very naughty struggle to say they're sorry? Sorry. It's so simple, but it's never easy. How many of you remember the first time you repented of your sins before God? And you look back and boy, wasn't it easy? No. It was simple, but it wasn't easy. It was hard. The hardest thing maybe you've ever done. And the hardest thing about repenting is in facing God's disappointments in our failures. And we have to face that. But the hardest thing about repenting is facing the disappointments we have in ourselves.
Amen.
We cannot truly face ourselves. And we struggle with that. And we can't face ourselves until we face God. Facing God is the mirror that we look into. And let me just say that looking into this mirror is not just for wicked sinners. The people that Peter was preaching to were the most religious people of his day. Many of them had traveled great distances at great expense and at great peril to be in Jerusalem to celebrate the holy days from Passover to Pentecost. But even the most quote-unquote righteous person has nothing and is nothing but a wretch compared to God's holiness.
Amen.
It's no wonder the prophet Isaiah declared later on in his prophecies in Isaiah 64:6, and he said, "Our righteousness is like a filthy rag." This holy preacher Isaiah had met God in a vision earlier in his ministry in Isaiah chapter 6. And when he was standing there in God's throne room in heaven, and he screamed with the same pain that these Jews felt at Peter's preaching. And he cried out, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I live amongst unclean people. I have seen the Lord of glory. What's going to happen to me? What am I going to do?" Because God reflects back to us what we cannot see in ourselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have it buried down deep. We're like the church in Laodicea. You think that you're increased and that you're clothed in fine clothing and garments and that you have unlimited wealth and riches, but you do not know that you are naked and poor and destitute. And coming to God is a reflection of who we really are. Job was the most righteous man in the earth during his time, but after his trials and after he had some pretty lofty things to say and some pretty harsh things that he said, God came to meet him. And when Job came face to face with God, he said this, "I had heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." And when we see God, we see ourselves as we truly are. And he said, "Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." What is this gut-wrenching experience called repentance? It is facing the most horrible things about us. It's facing the disappointments we have for ourselves. It's facing the hate we have for ourselves. It's facing our abused consciences. It's facing the promises that we have broken and the values that we have violated. It is facing our hate for ourselves. That's what sin is at its core. It's doing things that bring our bodies pleasure, but that bring our hearts pain. Sin is the ultimate hatred of self. And it's only through repentance that this can be fixed. It's simple, but it's hard. It's the hardest, simplest thing. And repentance brings about a powerful transference. But we cannot find a way to forgive ourselves or to love ourselves. And there is no indication in the Bible that a human being has the capability to forgive themselves. I searched it out. I searched the scriptures high and low, back and forth. You cannot forgive yourself, brethren. It is a spiritual, human, some kind of a, I don't know what the word would be, but it's a psychological impossibility. But I found scriptures that said where God could forgive you. I found scriptures that said where I could forgive you. And I found a lot of scriptures that said where God and I could forgive you, coupled together. But I never found one where it said I could forgive myself. But it's only through repentance.
Yes.
When we cannot find a way to forgive ourselves, And really, we cannot find a way to love ourselves. And we cannot find a way to stop sinning and hating ourselves. Jesus steps in to do what we cannot. Hallelujah. But you've got to trigger that transference. You've got to plug in to that power. You've got to open the door, amen, for His glory to flow in. And that door is a door of repentance.
Yes.
Sometimes it may feel like the door is locked tooth and nail and barred and bolted and chained. Sometimes it may feel like the key is not going to work. But I can assure you something today in the Holy Ghost. It worked even 2,000 years ago and it will work today. Sometimes it's been so long since you've been through that door that the lock may be a little rusty and the knob may be a little crusty. Hallelujah, but you oil it up with some tears of repentance. And let a little bit of God's grace flow into it. The key will work again. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. It may feel like the door is swelled shut, and you may have to put your shoulder to it and hit it with all your strength. You may catch a bruise on your shoulder, but let me tell you something. You need to get through that door of repentance. You need to do whatever you need to do to break that door down and get on the other side. And the destructive, amen, forces of this world and the power of sin, and get into the tower of safety. Amen. The prophet said in the infant Psalms, he said, amen, the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into and find safety. Jesus, brother Stacy, Jesus, have mercy on me.
Hallelujah.
It says in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I just love saying that. I say it when I pray. I say it when I worship. I love saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His name. Hallelujah. I like talking to my soul when I'm in the presence of God. And he goes on and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How do I do that? How do I access that? How do I get renewed? It's through the hardest, simplest thing. Through repentance. And the psalmist goes on. He says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Oh, I'm glad that I've got a God that I can go to. I'm glad I have a key. I'm glad I know the way and how to get through to God, to that place that I need to go when I've made a mess of my life, when my mind is in a whirl, when my soul is broken down, when my heart is broken. Hallelujah. When my body is racked with addictions and pains, I know a place that I can go.
Hallelujah.
When sin has captured me in its traps, as far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. Oh my God, help us, hallelujah, to get to a place of repentance. Hallelujah, we're repenting to You. And not only do You forgive our sins, but You deliver us from our sins. And the old traps that we used to fall into are permanently broken in pieces and can never capture us again. With You, so that my sins are so far away from me that I don't even remember what they used to feel like, that I don't even remember the pleasures they used to bring, because I'm living in the glory and the joy of my God's forgiveness. As a father shows compassion to his children, So the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame and He remembers that we are dust. When we repent, God reveals all our faults and our failures and our sins. And God takes from us what we cannot seem to give up, what we cannot know about ourselves, what's deeply rooted in our psyche that keeps hampering us is revealed. And God takes it from us and He replaces our hate with His love. I'm reminded of King Manasseh, who was the son of King Hezekiah, a great and holy and godly king. But Manasseh was not like his father, and he reigned for over 50 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He shed so much innocent blood. The Bible said Solomon filled the streets with coal, but Manasseh filled the streets with blood. And God said he shed so much blood that I will never forgive it. I am going to carry this city away. I'm going to burn it to the ground. And in that most horrific moment, the Bible says that Manasseh, amen, God brought an adversary, and they were conquered in battle, and Manasseh humbled himself, and he repented before God. But one of the most, if not the most wicked king that ever ruled over Jerusalem, found a place of forgiveness in the presence of God, because he figured out the key. Turn the key, repent, sackcloth, ashes. And God did not forgive the sin and the blood that was shed, but he gave Manasseh another chance. I said that to you to say, to remind you that it doesn't matter how far you've gone from God. It doesn't matter how much you've done against Him. You cannot ever get so far away from Him that you cannot find a place to repent.
Say it.
When we repent, God forgives us and He restores our ability to love ourselves again. Because when you're sinned, that's what's broken. And when other people sin against you, it gets broken. And when that happens, when God loves us and heals us of our sins, diseases, and then He enables us once again to love ourselves, then we can finally start loving others like we want to. How many of you know you got people in your life that you love, but you struggle with it? You fuss and you fight, and you just can't seem to get on that place, that plane that you're trying to reach to. Oh, but when we find a place of repentance, God fixes what's broken in us, and then enables us to love others, amen, the way that we truly want to. Amen. Repenting is what we do when the curtain is pulled back. It's what we do when our guilt is clearly established. It's what we do when a holy sorrow is raging like a wildfire. Repenting is a bilge pump, Brother Morse, sucking up the filth in our hearts and spitting it out under the cross of Jesus Christ. Repenting is confessing everything and anything that God reveals to us. You can pray a sinner's prayer, and that may or may not work. But friend, when you're praying and God shows you things, amen, that's what repentance is. It's not just repeating and regurgitating some words that some genius preacher thought up hundreds of years ago. But it's the Holy Spirit saying, why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you have faith in me? Why have you been rebelling against my words? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why have you been attacking me? He said to Paul on the road to Damascus, why are you persecuting me?
All right.
That's what repenting is. It's when God starts showing you the things that you have been hiding from yourself. It's when God starts showing you the things that you've been burying down, and you're raging through the earth, and you're going about your business all backwards and messed up, and God catches you in the middle of it, and He said, why are you crucifying me again?
All right now.
And so we begin to repent for doubting Him, and we repent for running from Him. Oh, come on, somebody. I said we repent from running. I've seen more people running from God since I've been pastor the past 18 years. And let me tell you something. They are not happy. They are miserable. Amen. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know whether they're coming or going. Their lives are a wreck. There's never a smile on their face. You can't run from God. You've got to find a place of repentance. Come on, Jonah, somebody. Hallelujah. I ain't going over there to Nineveh. I ain't going to preach like you told me to. I ain't going to live that holy life like you're calling me to. I want to go over here and live like a world. I want to go over here and enjoy my life. I want my inheritance now. I want my pleasures now. Oh, but you find yourself at the bottom of the sea in the belly of a whale. Let me tell you something. There's repenting happening in that night in the belly of the whale. What was going on 3 days and three nights? We repent for pride and selfish and self-righteous attitudes. We repent for being rebels. Even repenting isn't coming out of the closet. Hallelujah. It's cleaning out the closet. We need to spend less time. This is the way God didn't make you that way. God made you a new creation in Jesus Christ. You made you that way. The world made you that way. The devil made you that way. Your family made you that way. You're just a mess. What you need is to do the hardest, simplest thing. You need to find a place to repent. And you need to be like David and say, create in me a clean heart. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to know what's in your closet anyway. But God does. Psalm 51. You know, King David was a man after God's own heart. But he knew what it was to repent. And he knew when to repent. And it says in Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God. Well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know where to start. You got a Bible? I said, you got a Bible? Amen. I don't know what to say. You got a Bible? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know what that is? That's God talking. But God ain't talking to the wall, Brother Andrew.
All right.
He ain't talking into the air. Amen. He's talking to us.
Yes.
And when somebody talks to you, when they get done talking, what do? You talk back. You know how many books Psalms is broke up into? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Psalms is broke up into 5 books. It is our response to what God says in the first 5 books of the Bible.
Amen.
Speech answers to speech.
Yes.
You don't know what to say. You don't know what to pray. You just turn to Psalm 51 and it's right there all fixed up for you and ready to go. Because you ain't the first woman that's fell into this trap and you ain't the first man and you won't be the last. But the key hasn't changed. And David, the man after God's own heart, repented and he said, have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Oh God, you know, God, I didn't mean to do that, but the devil made me do it. That ain't repentance. You just brought your excuses into the prayer closet. Oh God, you know, I wouldn't have done that, but the way my parents raised, give me a break. God, you know everybody else is bad around me and I just couldn't help myself. There's no basis for repentance. The key ain't going to turn in the doorknob. The door is not going to open for you. That's not how you repent. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like Sister Stacy over there with her dirty hands and all touching all them dead things. Sister Unclean. That prayer ain't going get you nowhere.
No.
That's not repentance.
No.
According to your love.
Yes.
According to your mercy. Blot out my transgressions.
Yes, Lord.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. That's repentance.
Yes, it is.
And against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Wouldn't you like to have a heart that looked like that?
Yeah.
I said, Brother Rob, you've got a heart that looks like that. Cold as ice. Okay, I beat you to it. Amen. There may be some truth in that statement. Wash me white as snow. Wash me. And actually, he doesn't say that. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Because when you get right with God, God helps you to get right with yourself.
Amen.
And repenting leads to restoration. Repent, Peter said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. How hard can that be? And on top of that, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. We get the promise of the Father. We get the Spirit of Christ living in us. We receive the power of the resurrection. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're guaranteed an eternal home with God forever and ever. How hard can it be?
Hallelujah.
How does something so simple release such a torrent of feelings? How can something so simple be so efficacious? I don't know. I didn't create it. God did. But I can tell you today that thousands of years later, it still works. Let's stand on our feet right now and lift our hands to the Lord. Oh, God, have mercy on us, O Lord, here today. Oh, God, we get caught up in petty things and jealousies, and we get caught up in the pleasures and the entertainments of the world, and we put off the things that we know are of utmost importance. We live our lives caught up in a whirlwind of busyness and activity. The things that matter are thrown out of the whirlwind and discarded as trash in the woods, hanging in trees and thrown into the streets. Repent. Why would anyone procrastinate? Why wait? Why belabor the point? Why on earth would anyone reject such an incomprehensible and undeserved opportunity? Repent. It's simple. It's hard. And it changes everything. It's time to get off the fence and get right with God. It's time to stop living on the edge of the light with one foot in the shadows and one foot in the light. And it's time to come out of all the way out of the darkness and stand in the fullness of His marvelous light. It may not be pretty, amen, what you see there, but God God is going to cleanse you and clean you and forgive you and restore you and renew you and heal you. As the priest named Yeshua, which is the same name that was given to Jesus, called his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. As the priest stood and the devil was on one side of him and God was on the other side of him, and he was dressed in filthy garments, and the devil stood against him to oppose him, Jesus said, "Peter, Satan had desire to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying for you, and your faith is not going to fail." The devil stood opposing this first priest to return from 70 years of captivity, dressed in filthy, dirty, torn clothing. And the devil stood there with his finger pointing and accusing. And God rebuked the devil. And he said, "Take those dirty garments off of him and put some clean ones on him." When the prodigal son came home, the father said, "Take that clothes off of him. Give me the best robe that I've got and put it on him. Come on, bring me a ring and put it on his finger. Come on, let's put a feast out here and celebrate. For my son who was lost has been found."
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So find a place to pray today. If you want to step out of your pew and come down to the front and kneel and bow at the altars, if you want to kneel and bow in your pew right now, if you just find a place to pray, hallelujah, if your faith has been shaken, it might be helpful to do a little repenting today. If you've gotten off the bandwagon, it might be good to do a little repenting today. If you've been slacking when you know you should be reading your Bible and praying and fasting and pursuing and witnessing, and there's things that you need to do. The Bible says that when you know what you should do and you don't do it, to you it is a sin. And everything that you do that's not of faith is a sin. All of us can take a few moments today. Turn the key of repentance at the door. Step into the presence of God before you leave this place today. Off. Brother Stacy said, cast those things on him today and repent.